Hey, sweetie, we need to make a decision about naming our son. I still like Christopher. Christopher Harper has a certain ring to it, don't you think?
I just don't like Christopher.
Oh.
What about Michael? Mm. Right? Michael's a good, solid name.
Oh, you like Mikey? Hmm?
Seriously, Mom and Dad? I'd really appreciate you making up your minds. I'm going to be graduating soon.
Some things can only be put off for so long. Tax season ends April 18th. Hurry down to H&R Block, and one of our highly trained tax professionals will help you claim your maximum refund. Call 1-800-HR-BLOCK to book an appointment.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Adrienne Ashley. She is here to share with us a classic American success story. From a high school dropout raised by a single mother on welfare, Adrienne realized that personal success is well within her own self. Today, she has built an empire with companies as varied as 21st Century Pictures, Chick Lick Media Group, and Wow Is Me Concept. Adrienne and I will be discussing about her life's journey and her current endeavor in transforming everyday entrepreneurs into successful business celebrities.
Good morning.
Good morning, Adrienne. How are you?
I am excellent.
I'm glad you could join us this morning. And let us start by getting to know you a little bit better.
Just a little short, brief walkthrough of my 42 years on Earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I grew up in California, and I have been an entrepreneur my whole life. Mm-hmm. At the age of 7, I started making headbands. I don't know if any of you remember that horrible fashion that we had, the fad of wearing really gross, ugly headbands, almost like sweatbands, but they were decorated. And I made those when I was 7 and started selling them to all the different places where the dance shops and some of the fashion places in the local area. And I make them for 50 cents and sell them for $4, which was a huge profit. And then I'd turn around and sell them for $12 to $20.
Looks like you are a successful entrepreneur at a very young age, and that's what this story is all about. It's about a classic American success story, talking about how you grew up in a single family home and your mom were on welfare, and the fact that you realized that personal success is well within your own self. So if you could tell us a little bit about that process of going through all that, the challenges that you went through as a child growing up, and somewhere along the line you found the energy from within to get to where you're at today.
Well, that's a very interesting story. You know, I was just actually talking to my speaking agent yesterday, mm-hmm. and we came up with this thing. Really, I'm all about breaking through the glass ceiling, catching the breaks. I broke my ankle. That's actually how I turned my whole business around, was I could no longer, rely on my looks. I was a little size zero, little bit of nothing in Hollywood, finally starting to make it on the acting side of the camera, and I broke my ankle, gained a bunch of weight, and ended up on the producing side of the movie business.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's about attitude. You know, for me, I always knew that there was something in me, inside me, and that there was greatness there, and it didn't matter my circumstance. Nobody could convince me otherwise. And what I've noticed with a lot of people, especially now, is they're not trusting that instinct. And that's really the key, is knowing that what it is that you feel you have to offer really is of value.
Very interesting. When did you realize that success comes from within you?
I think when I broke my ankle. I think that was really it. Because before then, as I mentioned, I was in Hollywood, and it was very difficult because I was a size zero. I was 105 pounds, and that was, nothing to lose. I'd have to lose a limb to lose any weight. And, I was told I was 20 pounds too heavy, because what nobody really tells you is that the leading men that look really burly and really buffed and muscly, well, they're only like 5'6". And they weigh 140 pounds. So they need to weigh 50 to 60 pounds more than you to look like that in comparison. And that was the trouble. So for me, I was constantly being told I wasn't good enough. And once I hurt myself, I fell off a truck working on a movie and I broke my ankle and was in a cast for 18 months and gained a bunch of weight. And I no longer was subjected to people telling me that I needed to lose weight because I was injured. Mm-hmm. And I moved to the other side of the camera, and then it was like, wow, wait, I already know how to do all this stuff. So sometimes just changing your circumstance is the key.
And that's one of the major epiphanies that you've gone through over the years that have helped to propel you in the right direction, isn't it?
It is. It's so hard to explain. Nobody ever asks me these questions. They always ask me, like, how do I become an entrepreneur?
We're getting there.
I didn't realize I was doing Barbara Walters. You're going to make me cry, and I do not have tissue.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What's interesting about this show is, Adrian, is that to show people that ordinary people can do extraordinary things, if their mind is in alignment with their heart and their heart is in alignment with their mind. And you have a wonderful story to tell. And I've read your bio and the things that you have done. It's just fascinating. And that is why you are labeled as one of the classic American success story. The things that you've gone through, and you talk about glass ceiling just now, some things that a lot of people don't realize is out there. And so what you have overcome is tremendous. And so you have, beside the techniques, which I love to hear, and we will cover those things. We will be talking about online reputation and so forth. But I wanted people to know who you are in the very beginning, because we are all, in the end, are the same.
That's very true. You know, you said something about the glass ceiling that I want to go back to.
Sure, yeah.
There's no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you always have the ability to jump to a different ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's always packing a hammer. You can crash right through it. If the person holding you back, it may not be the person you think. It may be you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're letting someone hold you back, I mean, this is the whole thing. This whole mentality of victim, we've got to get rid of it. Okay? We've got to get rid of it. I see so many women out there that are like, oh, I can't do this because he won't let me. I'm like, oh, my God, stop the whining. Okay? I mean, my mother left an abusive marriage with me, took mm-hmm. me, had nothing, and managed to raise me where at, age 11, 12 years old, I'm marching upstairs because we live in a duplex, and telling the cannibals, that's what I called them, who were beating the crap out of each other. They would drink heavily, play really loud country western music, and I knew. I was like, okay, the fighting's going to start. And I'm like, I could time it. And then they would, I thought somebody was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they would start yelling, screaming, and throwing each other against the walls. And I would be marching upstairs telling them if they didn't stop, I was going to call the cops. So your circumstance is whatever you decide it is. There is always an option, always. There's always a solution. And the question is whether or not you choose to leave the blinders on so that you can't see the solution. And if that's the case, you need to find somebody who will take them off for you, and you need to get help.
Mm-hmm.
But that mm-hmm. victim, it's the mentality, it's not the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. So if you believe there is a solution, there is a solution.
What gave you the strength? Is this something that you got from within yourself, or is it something that you got from the environment, or even from your mom in this situation? Where did all this strength came into your life? I mean, you obviously saw something there, and you seized it, and that's just tremendous. I mean, you're a very powerful woman, and I really admire what you've accomplished, and it's going to be accomplishing down the road in the future for all of us.
I would have said maybe environment, but I'm a mom now.
Mm-hmm.
And my kid has this indomitable will that's, I have to say he was definitely born with that. So part of it is your personality. But going back to the whole point, everyone has some special talent that is uniquely theirs that they were put on earth to share with the world. everyone has something. And finding that, once you find that, once you embrace that, that is when the confidence sparks. And that confidence is what radiates outward and that draws people to you. It's the confidence. That's what we have to work on giving people. And we've been eroding that. We don't have consumer confidence. We don't have confidence in our government. We don't even have confidence that, you know, our monetary system is going to survive next week. You know, we don't have a lot of confidence in what's going on right now. We need to have confidence in ourselves so that we know no matter what life throws at us, we can roll with it and still succeed.
Fascinating. You wrote an award-winning and best-selling book, Every Single Girl's Guide to Her Future Husband's Last Divorce. I thought it was very funny. And what's the inspiration behind it, the comedic take on how women can plan and deal with marrying divorced men?
Well, that was one of those, if I had known then what I know now. So I got married, and I married a divorced man, and we had parties with the ex-wife. We, you know, we were one big happy family. She played the music at our wedding. And then I'm almost 8 months pregnant. I'm 6 weeks till my due date. And we get a bill in the mail for $100,000 for supposedly back child support. And I hit the roof. I called her. I told her I knew exactly what was going to happen. I told her. She said, oh, no, it'll be fine. I'm like, no, no, it won't be fine. And she didn't believe me. The stress had made me deliver early, so I delivered my son 3 weeks early. He was 1 day into full term, so he wasn't technically preemie.
Yeah.
2 hours earlier, he would have been preemie, but he was still small. I think it was Mother Nature's way of making sure he could get out. But then for the next 2 years, we had this horrible family court battle that it took all of my time. They were trying to put my husband in San Quentin, which, you know, they're not supposed to do. It's a civil debt. It's not even a civil debt. They're trying to jail him for debt, and they were trying. And the last nonviolent offender to go to San Quentin was a third strike DUI, you know, driving under the influence plumber.
Yeah.
Plumber who was drinking too much. He died in 3 weeks in San Quentin. They're trying to put my husband in there. It's like, no way. And so we launched this epic court battle. And of course, at the time, I'm, you know, an award-winning filmmaker, and I'm getting a little uppity here. I'm like, don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I can do? I mean, that's the whole attitude I take. It's like, you know, you want to push me around? Do you really not know who I am? Have you not Googled me? I mean, at the time, I think if you Googled me back then, I think I had almost 400,000 hits. I mean, I was huge. I was like, don't you know who I am? I mean, I was just, it just seemed ludicrous that they would be pushing me around.
Yeah.
You know, by pushing my husband around. And so I started making this documentary, which I swore I would never make documentaries because they just don't make any money. And I said, they don't make any money, they're not saleable, you know. And then I realized when I got into this situation, now I know why people make documentaries, because it's information that needs to get out there. And the problem with the documentary was it sucked. I'm not a director, and I am most certainly not a documentary director. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. It didn't work. And so that was a problem. And then I realized, okay, the real problem is our attitude. Nationally, as a society, it could even be globally, but especially in America, we live in a very John Wayne society, and this documentary was all about male victims. It was about our men not having civil rights anymore. It was about the domestic violence scam. I mean, my mother was a victim of domestic violence, so don't get me started on, oh, you're never against victims. Yeah, no, I'm not. Real victims absolutely need services and need to be provided with tools to escape their situation. But filing restraining orders in divorce so that you can get the kids, take the house, and then the guy never sees his kids again when it's totally false, and then not getting punished when they find out, oh, yeah, it was false, I did it for leverage, but by this point the guy hasn't seen the kids in 2 years, so the judge says, well, that's just the status quo, we'll keep it that way, and then he never gets to see his kids again. mm-hmm. and ends up paying more child support because he never gets to see his kids. So that was what I was revealing in this documentary. And I realized it was solutionless, it was unwatchable, and you left depressed and wanting to blow your brains out. I said, well, that's certainly not going to ever make it big time in the mainstream media. So what I had to do was take the major lessons in that documentary. So again, making lemonade out of lemons. It's like whatever life throws you, just figure it out. I had interviewed 1,000 couples. I interviewed major legislators, prosecutors, judges. I mean, I interviewed people all over the country for this documentary. And so I flipped it around. I said, okay, well, we live in a John Wayne society. Men are not allowed to be victims at all. As a society, we will not allow that culturally. So women can be victims. Okay, women are allowed to be victims. So second wives are women. I could mm-hmm. actually talk about protecting second wives from their husbands. Because men are, you know, notoriously bad. But really, it's their husband's divorce, which is the ex-wife, which is a woman. But we'll just kind of skirt over the fact that it's a woman that I'm saying is possibly bad. And the system, mm-hmm. which is bad, right? Mm-hmm. And so I spun it, and all of a sudden, it took off like wildfire. I did 300 media interviews in a period of probably 5 or 6 months, national television, everything. And it went and sold like crazy, and it was a bestseller. And it really was all about changing the dynamics of how I was presenting the information. It was the same information.
Mm-hmm.
Same lesson. I just changed how I was delivering the message.
That's fantastic. That is why I have you on the air today, to tell people that you can make the difference. And so with that, you are obviously a very successful businesswoman with Wow It's Me. Tell us a little bit about that, what that is all about, and then we'll get right into the meat and potatoes of protecting our reputation online.
Well, Wow It's Me was actually an interesting thing. As I first started to launch my book, I realized that, you know, I had experience doing movie promotion and promoting mm-hmm. my films and going around the world and, you know, doing the red carpet bit. But promoting a book was an entirely different beast. It's a different marketing method. And I created this proprietary method of doing promotions. And at the time, I was in this group, and there were 10 of us. And I realized, wow, it would work for the girl who's doing an equipmentless gym. It would work for the girl who's a boutique wine importer. It would work for the girl who's got a massage supply company. It would work for the girl who's a handbag designer. It would work for everybody. And that was an epiphany for me, was mm-hmm. that this system that I had designed worked no matter if you were retail, service, brick-and-mortar, or virtual company. Didn't matter. And I was going on TV with this group, and there were 4 of us, and they were asking me about my book because they'd been following us for a month. And I said, oh, my book is done, but the big news is that I created a new company to promote all of us and the book called Wow It's Me, and I launched it on TV. And we came up with the name like 5 minutes before I went on live because I had to have a name for it.
Right.
And, you know, there's nothing like a deadline to get you motivated. Just keep that in mind. Like, when you're up against the wire, like, you'll get it done.
Fascinating. We're all in business today, and we're always online. Everything that we do, we're in the social media. And just yesterday, I heard something on TV that how a doctor got slammed by a disgruntled patient. And so we're fighting that, and there's really not much of a guideline on how do we protect ourselves. And I know that you are really good at that. So let's talk about that, protecting our reputation online.
Well, let's start with times have changed, mm-hmm. okay? 10 years ago even, you would not have been able to take your grievances to the Internet because people wouldn't really be able to find you. I mean, some people knew how to start a blog 10 years ago, but not really, or put up a fast website. But it really wasn't something that was available to everyone. We didn't have the type of citizen media and instant response that we do today. We now, I mean, we can tweet, Facebook post, or blog from our mobile phone anywhere in the world and literally share information with thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of people instantly. So your reputation is at risk every second of every day. And Warren Buffett had a great quote, and I don't have it off the top of my head, but it was something like, if you knew that your actions were going to be subject to the criticism of millions, you'd behave differently, wouldn't you? Something like that. And the point is, when you know people are watching, you tend to behave differently. A lot of businesses are still behaving as if they're behind closed doors. And if somebody wants to duke it out, they're going to have to take them to court. Well, that's not the truth anymore. That's not the way it is. So they don't. And look at Yelp, for instance. This was a very interesting situation where I find Yelp to be a bully. They're starting to get better. I've sent them to reform school. But they take it too far. They say, well, we're there for the consumers, and the business owners can go fly a kite. They have no power. Well, that's not fair when you have competitors posting false one-star reviews, and the company that's hosting those one-star reviews won't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a problem. And so for your reputation, the key, and this was the secret with all these people who felt like they were being violated by Yelp, 90% of Yelp's traffic, and this is what I've heard from a source, so I have not been able to verify it because I haven't seen their Google Analytics, but 90% of their traffic comes from search engines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so how do you not have it affect your business? You make sure that you control the first three pages of your search engine results. That's the key. So when somebody posts something about you, yes, it'll go out to their network, but it won't end up with new customers or somebody who's searching about you. So we're on Blog Talk Radio, so people are clearly on the Internet already.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to open a new window, go to google.com, and start typing in your name. What's interesting now with Google's active search is it will start giving you immediately the results of the most searched for terms that match what you're starting to type in.
Mm-hmm.
There was a celebrity about a year and a half ago who I told him this little, what I'm going to tell you, I told him this tactic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually implemented it over the last year, and it's made a huge difference in his business, huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you type in his name, and it would come up, you'd get to the third letter of his last name, and it would type in, it would suggest, auto-suggest under it, his name, sucks, his name, fraud, his name, scam, his name, lawsuit, his name, counterfeit.
Oh, my God.
So when you're typing in somebody's name, right, whoa, if that's what's coming up and you thought this person was great, is that going to sway your opinion as to whether or not to buy from that person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So...
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's interesting is if you type in my name, the first thing that comes up is Yelp. Because Yelp deleted, what's funny is actually, and now Google thinks my company is a restaurant. And I have something funny to talk about there, because it doesn't even have to be negative, it can just be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So when Yelp did their clean sweep in 2008, they were trying to get bought. And so they were kind of cleaning house. Well, they got mad at, I should say, the CEO, because I do know the inside story. I don't know how much I can reveal without the person who told me actually getting outed. So the CEO got mad at three people who were users of the system and deleted those three people, their friends, and their friends of friends. So I ended up being deleted. And then when you go to my account, it said, this person has been deleted for a violation of the terms of service, right? Which is basically saying you're a spammer. I was so pissed off. I'm like, why can't you change that to just say, this account is closed? Or redirect it to the homepage. Either way is fine. So I gave them a long list of demands, and they basically told me to take a flying leap. So within 5 days, I had YelpLawsuit.com, Yelp-Sucks.com. By the way, Yelp owns YelpSucks.com. So if you are in an incendiary-type business where people might think you suck, go buy the one that says you suck. Okay, protect that domain name so somebody else doesn't buy it. So I had to buy Yelp-Sucks.com. And then I had 5 national negative news stories about the company in 5 days. So a class action lawsuit was launched with 1,000 members, and I was gathering people daily. Every day people sign up.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy business. So, you know, it's still going on. So you don't want to, you don't know who you piss off, right? Like, so when they deleted everybody, they deleted me, which my reviews that they deleted, I had a lot. I think I had 15, maybe 20 5-star reviews. Said she got me in the New York Times. She got me in the Wall Street Journal. She got me on national television. She got me, like, all of it said what I had done for them, which I'm not a publicist. I help people create this aura of expertise, and then I help them showcase that to the world. So part of it is publicity. Part of it's marketing, positioning, building their brand, building their sales funnel. You know, it's the whole thing. So I'm a business architect, but all of my reviews were about how quickly I got them attention. So they deleted me, and they deleted a class action intellectual property attorney. What were they thinking? Right? Don't piss off people who can make your business, you know, have a problem.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
There was no thinking involved there. Anyway, so they finally started to do, it's only taken 3 years. You know, my demands have almost been met. But, which I thought was very interesting. I'm just waiting for the apology, which will never happen, I'm sure. So, where did I go from there? Oh, so you want to look at, so Google your name. What comes up? Look at the first 3 pages of what comes up. And are you okay with those search results? And if you're not, we're going to talk about how you fix that.
I did mine the first page. It looks fine. And I did yours. The first page looks good. I'm one of those guys that look at the first page. I don't really go to the second and the third. Is that bad?
Well, no, but here's the thing. Like 80% of people will never leave the first page.
Right. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah. Like 15% will go to page 2. 4.99% will go to page 3. 0.01% of people will go to page 4 and beyond. So if you can clean the first 3 pages, then you're pretty good. Now, what's interesting is companies, online reputation companies, they will remove the derogatory. There's an asterisk next to the word remove. And I looked it up in the very fine print. It says remove it from the first page. Right? And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's just crazy. Right? It's crazy. So how you overcome that is you want press releases. Because if you do a press release with your name and your business name, that then gets picked up by all the news. That becomes relevant new content. And news trumps websites. Okay, so you want to put that. And then it'll get picked up everywhere and spidered. You want to write articles because that's expert content. And then when it starts to go viral, like you have one article that gets posted, you want to post it on your website first. Once Google has spidered that article and you see it coming up in the search results, then you want to post it on all the article directories because you get bonus points for being the first one to post it. Then it's your original content, then everybody else is copying it from you. Then they get points for that. But you, it all helps with your search engine juice. Then all of that comes up. And you just start putting it out there. And, you know, a friend of mine did 70 articles in 70 days and used an article distribution service and had 300,000 search results in 70 days.
That's amazing.
How, how much do you think he dominated the first three pages of his own name and his own business name? It's all about your search results, your name, the conversation happening about you.
That's interesting. Now, I've seen on pages one people and companies to whereby they create their own scam page. Have you seen that before?
I have seen that before.
And so it's like a reverse psychology kind of thing, you know, and then you go over there and you find out and come to find out it's pro versus against.
Right. Exactly. Yes. I know several online marketers who have done that.
Is that a good technique?
No. It depends. Are you a scammer?
No.
Okay. If you're a scammer, it's a great technique. Because all you have to do is have your scam page outrank anybody else's scam page. And then you've tainted the waters. They think that those other scam pages are like your scam page, which is basically saying, no, he's not a scammer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And there was a guy who did this who was very famous for selling pool tables on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the worst reputation. He got thrown off of eBay. He sold a product on that. He got a ton of people saying he was a scammer. He came out with this new product. I watched him, and he's doing the demo, and I'm like, okay, that's not possible because I know the internet. I know the architecture. I know how long it takes to get a domain name registered and live, right? Because the DNS, the domain name server, has to be registered with ICANN, which is the whole, like, universal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we have one world government, it's ICANN, okay? And I think we should all just bow to the internet government. I mean, that's the only organization so far that every country has universally said, okay, we'll all adopt this one policy. I mean, seriously, no matter what country you go to, they have to deal with ICANN because that's the internet. So, anyway, it takes upwards of 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a live demo, and he's like, I pick this domain name, click, boom. I click this, click, boom. I click this, click, boom. My website is up and live, and oh, look, I'm already generating commissions.
Mm-hmm.
He did it that fast. And I'm like, okay, first of all, that's not possible. Second of all, that's a WordPress site. Third of all, he'd have to clone it using a database cloner. Fourth, the database, because I know the back end, I know the systems. It couldn't possibly be real, right? And he's like, no, it's real, it's real. Turns out it wasn't real. And people found out much later that it wasn't real. It would have been super cool had it been real, but it wasn't real. And that was an interesting thing. So his whole thing, he probably had 20 of those reverse scam sites.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I first noticed it, when I was researching him, and on the first three pages, you know, there was probably 20 of them. It was first five pages. Yeah, it was very interesting. And when you go and look up who owns those sites, so that's what you want to look at, is you go and you do a domain search. It's called Who Is, for those of you who aren't internet savvy. And I think you can go to whois.com. Just Google the term who is, WHOIS, all one word, who is. And then you look up who owns that domain. Well, he owned all those domains. He didn't even do private registration. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Cover your tracks. It reminds me of Walmart. So Walmart was trying to open a store in Chicago, and the residents were just really getting pissed off because it was suburb and they didn't want it. So Walmart had their publicity company start up a community services or community type website that was pro the Walmart move to come into the community, but it was supposed to be this independent third party, like, workers' rights organization, right? Which Walmart is, got a bad rep when it comes to workers' rights.
Mm-hmm.
And they got caught with the digital fingerprinting, that it was the that it was Walmart's publicity company that created this other campaign that was supposedly in support of Walmart as an independent third party. They got busted big time. So, you know, if you're ever going to do anything like that, which I suggest you don't, because it's very scammy. That's what I was saying. Are you a scammer? If you're a scammer, it's an appropriate thing to do. But if you're actually a legitimate business, it's a very scammy thing to do. So don't. Look what happened to Walmart. Now, another thing, Nestle. Nestle uses palm oil in their products, and they were getting it from a supplier that was not sustainably harvesting. They were clear-cutting rainforest to get this palm oil. And the and Greenpeace got really upset with them. And so then there was these people online who used the – they said Nestle, and then they said killer. Like, they used the Nestle logo, and they made it, you know, kind of like not Nestle, and they put killer in there. So Nestle's – a junior member of Nestle's publicity division fired off and said – that if they didn't take the logo down, that they were going to get them deleted from Facebook because they started a Facebook group, get them kicked off of Facebook and sued for copyright infringement. So, like, literally took out the sledgehammer and wanted to squash a vocal person who was saying, hey, maybe that's not the right thing to do. They got so much bad press from that that, I mean, they had to fire that person, obviously. But it just goes to show you, you want to listen to what they're saying? I want to go back to Yelp for a second. This one company has been such a vocal detractor of Yelp for years and years and years and contacted me and said, you know, what can I do? How can I get these ratings off? You know, I've got all these bad ratings and I'm not bad. And I looked at it and I read the ratings. And universally what everybody said was, that the bread is the most amazing bread in the whole wide world. Oh, my God, I've never had better bread. And the other consensus was the service sucks. So this was a this was a business that had transformed from a pizzeria to an Italian restaurant and did not change staff. So they still had high school students who were untrained, and sometimes it would take people 20 minutes to be served water and bread. That's just not okay. That's horrible service. And the servers, it was truly, it was not the food. It was the service was universally panned. And I wrote them back and I said, it's kind of deserved. I can't imagine that all these people would say that your staff sucks and belongs, you know, maybe working at Domino's, except that Domino's has a we'll deliver it in 20 minutes or less or it's free. So probably not even Domino's. And they weren't taking to heart the criticism. Had they originally, when they first transformed into this Italian restaurant, taken the advice and listened to the reviews and said, hey, you know what, maybe this is an issue, and fixed it, they would have saved themselves a couple hundred negative reviews. So that's the first lesson, is it deserved? Is it true? Do you really suck? And if so, can you fix it? And if you can fix it and then tell the person, say, oh, my goodness, thank you for bringing this to my attention. We had no idea that this was an issue, but since you've brought it up, we've implemented X, Y, and Z to resolve the situation, and we'd love to have you come back and try us one more time.
And that brings me to the idea of taking ownership, because we're all not perfect. That's okay.
Right. It's okay, as long as you don't ignore the issue, as long as you own it and take responsibility for correcting it. Then your customers are totally fine. You can turn them around.
You talk about business blueprint, a mastermind approach to success. What are some of the things, the skills and criteria that we need to know in our current business model and products?
You need outside opinions. And that's the one thing about joining a mastermind group that is crucial to every business owner. Sometimes we get so myopic in our business that we can only see what we see, right? We can't see anything else other than what we see. in our business and our narrow view of our business. And it really helps to have an outside perspective in another industry, you know, who may or may not even be your potential client. But really, their business experience will always lend itself to sparking an idea for your business. So find a mastermind group locally. The other thing that I would suggest about the mastermind group is a little, you know, you always want to be the lowest earner in the group. Okay. So there's this rule of thumb. You want to, you know, you are the average of the five people that you hang around the most.
Okay.
Okay. So if everybody you hang around is broke, more than likely you're going to be broke.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. Right? There's networking organizations out there. Go find people who are killing it, and it does not matter if it's in your industry. It
mm-hmm.
just doesn't. You need to be around people who are on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you will notice, naturally, you will set yourself on fire, too. That's my mm-hmm. favorite quote is, success is not the result of spontaneous combustion. You must set yourself on fire.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You talk about six steps that we need to take to reach success in a business, and I like the idea about how you broke it down. Please share that with us in terms of the top six steps.
Well, that's actually, we don't have that much time to go into it. I want to invite everybody to go to my website, which is wowisme.net, mm-hmm. and the opening intro video is the top six steps, and then the minute that you hit the landing page after that, there is an hour-long video on the top mm-hmm. six steps. With the recommended resources. But really, you need to be able to show... You're going to make me memorize them. I don't know if I have this memorized. You're going to have to prompt me. Okay, so it's show. You want to show people. And this is... Demonstrating your expertise is a really important aspect of your business because you can't just tell them, which is another part of top six steps. You want to tell them. You want to have a blog. It used to be a newsletter. You need to have a blog because the blog creates engagement. The newsletter concept, you're not going to send everything to their inbox. You're going to send them basically a notification of a new blog post, and the blog post will be in that email. They can read the post, but the comment button will take them back to the blog post so that they will comment on the blog and create user interaction and engagement on your website, which is crucial. That is one of Google's new keys for search engine optimization, is how are people, how are they engaging on your website?
Mm-hmm.
And is there user engagement? So that's huge. So you tell them on your website, but you also want to show them. It's kind of like if you have to tell people you're successful, you're not. They should just be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I want to say it was Margaret Thatcher who said, if you have to tell people you're a lady, you're not. It's the same thing. And you need to be able to, you want to be able to share. You want to be infinitely shareable. That's crucial. So put on every single part of your website, make sure that there are social media buttons. You want them to be able to make it easy for them to just click the tweet button and click the Facebook like button. You also want to integrate Facebook comments
mm-hmm.
on your blog instead of regular comments. Do Facebook comments, because what's great is somebody can click the like button, and you know what happens? Your entire post goes on their profile wall.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I did not realize that.
Yeah, they don't even have to share it. All they have to do is like mm-hmm. it, and it ends mm-hmm. up on their profile wall. And it goes into their news feed. So mm-hmm. all of their friends see that they liked it. It's the fastest way to get people to know what you're doing. So it's all about the optimization. We were all newsletters and e-zines and this and that, and those are
mm-hmm.
fine. Okay? They're fine. But those need to be transformed into something that's shareable as well. And you really want to make sure that you can drive everybody back to your website. You
mm-hmm.
want to have a Facebook fan page for sure, even if that fan page is taking the RSS feed from your blog and just posting your blog, which will drive everybody back to your blog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to make sure that you're engaging. It's all about engagement. You want to write. And I mean, like, if you can get a weekly column, if you're a local business and you can get a weekly column in your local newspaper, woohoo!
Mm-hmm.
If not, you can go to Associated Content and start writing there. But this is another demonstrating your expertise. The article writing is huge when it comes to online reputation because you can distribute it to directories. There's 40,000 article directories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not all going to take your article, but if it's a really well-written article, can you think that maybe 10,000 of them might take it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Even 10%, that's 4,000. That's an extra 4,000 links into your site from your article. Most people only have, you know, 20
mm-hmm.
links into their site. The other thing you want is you want to be everywhere. So you really, really want to have social media presence. Friend feed is a good one, only because you can take your Twitter, you can take your Facebook, you can take all of your other social media accounts and pump them into friend feed. And friend feed is highly search engine optimized. So it's a good one. You want Facebook, obviously, Twitter, obviously, LinkedIn. For business people and entrepreneurs, you know what's funny is corporates totally live on LinkedIn. You know, they
mm-hmm.
care less about Facebook because there's games on Facebook, so
right.
they discount it. But entrepreneurs don't spend enough time on LinkedIn. And that's a really, they just started opening up portions of it. They just started changing the way their groups are indexed, so they're allowing some of their groups to be indexed on the search engines. And you want to find where your highly targeted people, your customers, are. There's large groups of them on LinkedIn. And then start participating, start offering advice and getting popular. Because what's really interesting is, you know, in high school it was all about being popular.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, well, in the real world it's not really like that. It's really like that. Except it's not about being mean and being a bully to get popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being nice and being helpful and standing up for integrity and being someone fun that everybody wants to be around. If you can nail that, your sales funnel will be full all the time.
Fascinating. Where can someone go to get more information about you and your programs?
Wowisme.net is my website. Or I actually... the reason I tell everybody to do Facebook is I have a six-figure business, and I get 85% of my business from Facebook. So if you don't have a brick-and-mortar store, even if you do have a brick-and-mortar store, you want to be on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a service, especially if you have a service-based business, you want to be on Facebook. Your customers are there. 500 million people, 500 million people are there. I'm certain that a few thousand of them are your customers. Certain. So my Facebook account is facebook.com/Adrienne, A-D-R-Y-E-N-N, Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y. And they can like me there.
Fantastic. And Wow Is Me is W-O-W-I-S-M-E.com, correct?
Nope, .net.
.net, I'm sorry.
.net. The .com, there's nothing there. It's owned by World of Warcraft. That's the WoW, World of Warcraft. And they won't give it to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I keep asking them for it. And they've made it private. I've done a domain buy. I'm like, come on, let me have it. It's been 5 years, and they're still not doing anything.
Hey, I'm sure you will get it eventually. I'm very sure of that.
Eventually. I will. I will.
Looking back, what are some of the greatest life's epiphanies that you went through, and how did it impact you personally and as a mother?
You know, the life epiphany, I'll tell you what the turning point was, really,
mm-hmm.
was
mm-hmm.
in July of 2007, I was at this event, big event, 1,500 people, And I met a woman who was an astrologer, and really I know very little about astrology. I know that, you know, I'm a Libra. And then they just came out with this 13th thing, and I think now I'm a Virgo. I don't know what it is. I'm still a Libra, she says. I'm still a Libra.
Mm-hmm.
But she did my chart, and I gave her my birth date and my time, and she looks at the chart. She goes, yeah, that's not you. And I said, well, I'm dyslexic, so maybe it's this time. You know, like I just didn't remember it right. And she puts that in, and she goes, that's not you either. And I'm thinking, how could she look? It looks like a pie plate, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
like a clock face,
mm-hmm.
and with dots all over it. You know, it's a scatter chart. And I'm like, how can she possibly figure out that's not me, just looking at dots on the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, fine. So we call my mom, and my mom gets my birth certificate out and tells me the exact time I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And she pops it in the computer, and all of a sudden the whole chart changes. I can see it. Like, the first two looked
mm-hmm.
the same to me. The third one, everything shoves up into the 12 to 3 o'clock quadrant, and this
mm-hmm.
one little dot down there by 7, she goes, that's you. And I'm looking at her like, is there something significant you're looking at? You know? And she proceeds to tell me my life, which she's only known me for 5 minutes. There's no possible way
mm-hmm.
she could know this. And she
mm-hmm.
did. She hit major events at certain times of my life. And then she proceeded to tell me what that little dot was that was all by itself. And she cleared up any doubt I had in my mind about what I was here to do, that I always knew I was here, the special talent I always knew I had, but I doubted.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in my 20s and I was in Hollywood and I was in the movie business being told I needed to drop 20 pounds, which was physically impossible, I had a lot of friends who were actors, and they would go, oh, my God, he's 24 years old and he's still a waiter. Oh, my God, I'm going to be an A-lister by then. And I'm looking at them going, no, you're not, because I've always been able to see the it factor. I've always been able to see the special talent that people had and to know who has the fame factor, you know, that sparkly it factor that it just draws everyone to them. I can
mm-hmm.
see that, and I didn't see it in them. I saw it in myself, but I doubted it because they were so certain that they had it. I thought, well, maybe they're looking in the mirror and they're seeing it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing it. But I didn't see it in them. And, you know, I saw something else in them. Like, what they wanted to do wasn't really their special talent. Like, the person I'm talking about, his special talent is actually in fashion,
mm-hmm.
not in acting. So, you know, he's now harnessed his special talent, and he's in the fashion industry, which is where he belonged in the first place. But she basically cleared that up and said I was meant to be a healer on the world stage. And I said, well, let's take it one step at a time. Let's do world stage first, and then we'll define healer. And for me, I mean, the whole reason why I launched the Curing Unemployment Tour was to help people overcome this sense that they are not in control of their future, because they are.
Mm-hmm.
There is always a solution, and technology is changing on a dime. You know, while there may not be a solution for a particular challenge today, somebody's working on it, and they'll release it tomorrow. So you just have to know that there will always be a solution. You just have to be open to it.
That's fascinating. And the fact that you're a mom all this time, also raising your son,
yeah.
That is an additional challenge in itself. I'm sorry?
He's homeschooled.
Yeah, and so that's fascinating.
Super smart. Yeah, it's hard. I actually put my business on autopilot for probably about a year and a half
mm-hmm.
because he was having trouble in school because he had behavior problems. Well, the behavior problems we found out later, which I generally suspected because I had the same issues,
mm-hmm.
You know, he tested in fifth grade in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting there bored to tears, so of course he was acting out. So the minute that we took him out, I hired an elementary school teacher to teach him, and we homeschool him now, and he's great. The behavior issues have evaporated. So many parents need to think about that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Their kids might not need drugs. They just might need harder textbooks.
All I could say, Adrian, you're a fantastic woman. You've got so much going on, and you've got a lot of things that you've accomplished. I really thank you for being with us on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio this morning. Fantastic information that you shared with us. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us this morning. Please join me tomorrow at noon for a special From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio broadcast. My guest will be Noel Wu. He is a celebrity image connoisseur. For over 22 years, Noel has worked and assisted countless professional and Hollywood celebrities and prominent public figures as a personal image and wardrobe consultant. Noel and I will be discussing how to be the it factor from inside out and owning any room you walk into. This is the essence of his new book titled The Black Book of Being Sensational. For additional information about this show, future shows, and to receive a free recipe for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Adrian, thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.